USA Radio News with Melanie Burkett.
It's been an honor to participate in the 2016 Republican presidential primary. I'm proud of our principled campaign and the thousands of young people that have been energized by our message of limited constitutional government.
Kentucky Senator Rand Paul is suspending his presidential campaign.
Although today I will suspend my campaign for the presidency, I will continue to fight on for liberty, for the Constitution, for justice in the United States Senate.
Paul released a video this morning saying he's dropping out of the GOP race to focus on being reelected to the U.S. Senate. He added that he's ending where he began, ready and willing to fight for the cause of liberty. Paul has been lagging in the polls and finished fifth in the Iowa caucuses, getting just 4.5% of the vote. There's a report that Republican Rick Santorum is also suspending his presidential campaign. The former senator from Pennsylvania won the 2012 Iowa caucuses, but Monday night finished near the bottom in the Hawkeye state. This is USA Radio News.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
Godfrey Electric is a fourth-generation, full-service electrical contractor serving St. Lucie, Martin, Palm Beach, and Broward counties. Godfrey Electric specializes in industrial, commercial, and residential electrical service work. Godfrey Electric, an underwriter of the WCNO Ministry, is available on the web at www.godfreyelectric.com or at 561-833-3753.
USA Christian News. On average, tax refunds for many Americans amount to close to $3,100. It may sound like a nice problem to have, but many people wonder what to do with their refund check from the IRS. I spoke to Chuck Bentley of Crown, the largest Christian financial ministry in the world.
I think it's a really good idea, if you're getting a refund, to put $1,000 in savings in an emergency savings account. That will prevent you from falling back on your credit card when an unexpected expense occurs. Once you've established that $1,000 emergency savings, then use the balance to pay off debt.
Chuck Bentley says people of faith should know what to do with some of that refund.
I recommend when people get a tax refund that they consider, if they haven't been giving off the top, if they haven't been honoring the Lord with their income, that they first give. And I believe in tithing. I think 10% off the top should be given, and then we use it for to achieve our financial goals.
For the USA Radio Network, this is John Clemens.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has the best in equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler, Pro Rodeo, and Horseman headquarters with an expanded women's department. Also an expanded boot department with Georgia, Justin, and Wolverine boots. West of Old England is located in the Bruner Plaza, 650 Southeast Monterey Road, halfway between US 1 and Canner Highway. West of Old England.
I'm Chris Barnes.
Honda is recalling 1.7 million vehicles and issuing a stop sale notice to dealerships because of faulty airbags. It's the latest in a massive series of recalls that's affected multiple automakers that used airbags from Japanese manufacturer Takata. The recall affects a range of Hondas built between 2007 and 2015, including the CR-V, CR-Z, Fit, Insight, and Ridgeline. The airbag problems have been linked to 10 deaths. Honda has warned dealers they could face legal consequences for selling any unrepaired vehicles. A bear in Montana is predicting the Denver Broncos to win the Super Bowl this Sunday. This is the fourth year that a 700-pound grizzly named Ozzy has made Super Bowl predictions. Zookeepers at Zoo Montana in Billings gave Ozzy two cakes to eat, each one frosted with a Super Bowl team logo. Ozzy preferred the Broncos cake. Last year, the bear correctly predicted the Patriots to win. For breaking news, we're at westernjournalism.com. I'm Melody Burkett.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA, and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Martech program, Joe Martech.
They insulated those old houses with newspaper.
Oh, really?
They would crumple up newspaper and stick it in the wall. Now, that was good. You'd have a wood house with a wood exterior interior.
And plenty of kindling.
Old
lap siding on the outside?
Yeah. The whole
house. Beadboard on the inside?
No. It was wood, like knotty pine, they built those houses. I mean,
but they had beaded boards, you know, little slats that were beaded. They were wood, and they'd put those on the inside. The ceiling, the walls, everything.
All I know is this.
Looked the same.
That newspaper worked extremely well.
It was great.
And in a fire, it really kept you warm.
Yeah, it did.
For a short time.
You didn't have to be cold in the wintertime.
No. Hey, this is the Team Martech Hour, and we kind of snuck up on it because Pastor Tom, he was forgetting that he had his responsibilities to start the show, and then we were talking.
Well, that's because I was not here last week, and I forgot what I was doing.
What's your name again? Yeah, right?
I don't know. Yeah.
But he's dreaming about becoming an old guy.
An old guy.
And he wants to move back up to Georgia, where his roots are. And I'm talking, it's in the root cellar.
Oh!
No, there's a big house up there.
Yeah?
I've been looking at houses in
Georgia. Is that near the town that you were called?
This house.
Was that Goslow?
As the crow flies, this house I was looking at is about a mile and a half from where I was born. The actual place.
Tom came from Resume Speed.
That's it. Resume Speed.
That's where I grew up.
That's where you grew up, right?
And now he's in Goslow.
Goslow, right, yeah. Goslow.
Goslow.
But Tom's a little slow today.
What?
No, I wouldn't say, that people from near Jessup or Waycross are not too bright, but they are a little slow.
Huh?
Now you're getting, personal.
I was looking at, a few years from now, I'm going to be hopefully retiring and going back to North Georgia.
That's where I'd like to go.
Yeah.
You'll be old, you know.
Yeah.
Well, they still ice skate and stuff up there.
They do.
Yeah.
In places.
They get snow and sleet.
They had snow not long ago up there.
Yeah, it's great. And in the summertime, it's nice, 105, 110 degrees. I mean, it's perfect weather. Crummy in the winter, hotter than the blazes in the summer.
Sounds perfect. Sounds like Northwest South Carolina.
There's a bit of a similarity. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's beautiful up there. It really is. I didn't appreciate what was there when I was a kid.
Well, kids don't know anything about anything. Whatever we grew up in, that's what we had. And we don't know if it's good, bad, or indifferent. But you remember, I don't know if you remember, but I used to take the kids every summer. We'd take off for 2 or 3 weeks and we'd go camping. We'd camp the whole country. So you go through beautiful mountains and beautiful this, and the kids could care less. I mean, they don't, you don't appreciate that stuff until you've been out on your own.
Until you're out, older.
Once you're on your own and you realize what real life's all
about. And how much it costs.
I read a book one time. The guy said that every year their family would prepare to go on a vacation, to the mountains. And one year they were going to Washington, D.C. So they got the National Geographic and the encyclopedias, and they would read everything about it and all that. And said they got to Washington, D.C., and the father said, "Look, that's the Washington Memorial." And the fellow's little brother said, "I've heard about that all my life." And he said, "There's the, Lincoln Memorial." He said, "I've heard about that all my life." And said, this went on and on and on. And every time his father pointed something out, his little brother said, "I've heard about that all my life." Said one time he looked, he said, "There's a Shell station." And then his little brother didn't say nothing, and he said, "I've heard about that all my life." So it's, you don't get too excited about much.
When you're a kid, you just don't know any better.
Yeah.
I don't care where you live.
Whatever your parents dish you out, that's what you take.
Hey, and if the kid just got the ball in the neighborhood, he's very popular. You treat him nice.
That's right.
Because if you don't, he takes the ball and goes home.
He takes the ball and bat, and he leaves.
Yeah.
And you're left with nothing.
Then it's it. 1-888-221-8990, 888-221-8990. 8990. All right, class, write that number down. This is important.
You had a call before the show. Maybe he's listening.
Professor Martek.
Call again, 888-221-8990. Here's the whole concept of Team Martek. And you know, I've had some wonderful, heartwarming experiences from people that I've talked to with the last few weeks that listen to the show.
Mm-hmm.
And that always makes you feel good. And that they, one said, hey, I can't wait to listen to your show. He says, not that I learn anything, but,
but we are entertaining.
If you don't know it, fake it.
That's it. So the concept of Team Martek, we started doing radio shows prior to 2004. Don't know exactly when we started. And it was a pretty simple concept. Joe Martek's a financial advisor. I'm called a stockbroker. I'm a securities principal. It means lots of licenses. And basically, I handle people's monies, 401ks, IRAs, regular money, and try to earn my clients' money and achieve their goals. If in order to be a credible professional, there's no such thing as any one person knowing everything. So normally, what I consider credible professionals align themselves with other credible professionals so that they can service their clients the best. So sitting with me today happens to be, just so happens to be one of those. Yeah, I know it's an uh-oh. Vincenzo, that's what his grandfather
would have. My grandfather called me that.
Would have named you, yeah. Vince Rizzino, CPA. Extraordinaire. That's not part of the title, but I like it.
Thank you. Extraordinaire. That's nice.
It's like Greg Fasula. What do they call him? Heirloom? No, that's not the right thing.
I actually spoke to Greg the other day. I had a client matter discussed with him, and I finally got him the next day. I couldn't get him the same day, but he was he's doing well.
Yeah.
Quiet, unassuming as
usual.
Well,
that's Greg. Well, see, Vince, CPA, he's also a forensic CPA, which means he's an expert witness recognized by the court system. And the thing that happens, I mean, if it isn't every day, the tax code is a constant changing, evolving thing. And when people ask me tax questions, hey, I don't know the answers. So invariably, about once a week, I call Vince and he says, what now?
Exactly.
I know,
and Joe, you never call me with easy softball stuff. You know, always call me with something that I got to research and look it up.
You know,
spend 25 minutes.
I said this to my girl Nikki 2-3 years ago when she started. I said, okay, this job starts off really easy and it keeps getting harder every day.
Yes.
And that's what happened.
That's a tax code. Same thing.
Same thing. It's a pretty simple, we got a simple tax form. Okay, good. Well, now you throw in a wrinkle and then we have to go and do some research to find out how we can get around that.
And they're making it more complicated too, Joe. But even with the health care now, you've got to indicate whether you had coverage or no coverage.
Yep.
And then you've got
have
special
forms
now, the 1095s. And I mean, it's just gotten to be, you know, cumbersome.
Well,
where do you get the 1095? You got to wait for
it from the insurance company, or the exchange itself. Where
you
got
to go.
It.
Well, I don't have one, and I was trying to do my taxes, and I got to that point.
They're supposed to send it to
you. They're supposed to send it to you.
However, what's the cutoff date on those? Do you know?
I think they've got till like April to get that to you.
Which makes perfect sense. I want to do my taxes, but now I can't do them early.
Yeah, because you got to wait for this. It's crazy.
But
you can go into the exchange and
you can probably find out.
You probably can
find it, I think.
Yeah. Hey, we got a caller.
Whoa, we had a caller and they fell on the floor.
Caller, it's Joe Martek. It's Joe Martek. You're on the radio. Hi.
Yes. My name is Cassandra, and it's about Social Security, some changes. And the paper is called Tribune. I got it in the mail today. And I don't know if everybody, there isn't an audience, you know, maybe everybody doesn't get this paper. And it's some big changes to the Social Security. I just want to read a little bit so that people be informed of what changes are in case they don't get this particular paper.
Now, is this regarding Social Security, right?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Do you have your radio on behind you? Can you turn it down a little bit?
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
okay.
Because it'll give you an echo.
Oh, an echo, yeah.
So what does the article say about Social Security?
Okay, it says, let me read it. It says the Budget Act, which was passed by Congress last October, includes the biggest changes to Social Security in over a decade. The new regulations are effective for 2016. So if you are retired or approaching retirement, you should be sure you understand the changes and how they could affect your retirement income. If you're already collecting Social Security, there's no need to worry. You are not affected by the new rules, and your benefits won't change. For everyone else, here's what you need to know. And it goes down to say, one significant change is the estimation of the so-called file and suspend strategy. Since 2000, married couples have been taking advantage of this strategy to boost benefits. This loophole of sort lets the higher-earning spouse file for Social Security, but then suspend his or her payments until age 70, allowing the benefit amount to grow. Meanwhile, the other spouse can begin collecting spousal benefits immediately. And then it also says, financial planner who works on the financial committee of American Institute for Public Accounts says that for most people, file and suspend is no longer an option.
Yep,
but
yep.
If you are already a full retirement age or will reach it very soon, then you should take immediate action. There's really only one action item. If you are somebody who are already at full retirement age or you are going to reach full retirement age before April 29, then you should probably file and suspend so you preserve the option of your spouse getting a benefit.
Hey, Cassandra.
If you haven't gone...
Cassandra, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
How old are you?
Mm-hmm. I'm 55.
See, what I saw, they said, when in part of this thing says, all women named Cassandra that are in their 50s are in trouble. Now, that didn't say anything about Social Security, but that was just a blanket one. You know, and actually, I think Vince has been talking about this for the last couple of three shows, have you not, about the changes in Social
Security?
Yes,
absolutely. And yeah. She's right. This notice she gave us and read to us really summarizes what basically, in essence, if you turn 62 in 2016, you're basically going to lose the opportunity to do this, what's called this file and suspend at normal retirement.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what this file and suspend strategy is, caller? What allows you, what allows to do is the higher, if you have a husband and wife and both spouses.
No.
But here's the key, what we're talking about. If you're in your 50s, forget it.
It doesn't matter.
You're done.
You're done anyway.
You've got to be 62 or older right now.
Oh.
Or 66, full retirement age, to get in order to go back to this way the system was last year. Now, if you're because you're 55 and your name Cassandra, you probably won't be able to draw Social Security till you're 104.
but Cassandra, are you married, Cassandra?
Are you married? Divorced.
Okay, so then probably that strategy, it's still applicable to you, but you had to have been married for 10 years. There's some, but suffice to say, if you're not 62 years old by the end of 2015.
No matter what, if you're not 62.
Now, if her husband.
But listen, remember I read it said it doesn't apply to the people that's already, I'm already getting disability. And I was married 35 years.
Hmm. But if you're on disability, is there a loophole there, Vince? Do you know?
Not that I'm aware.
It doesn't say about that. No, it says that if you're already, it doesn't apply to the people that's already.
If her ex-husband is over 62, he can still file for.
She just said he's not.
He's not.
You're absolutely right.
If the husband is
over
62
and
she's
married more than 10 years, he can
file and suspend benefits.
Let me ask you a question.
Let her. She could still get the spousal benefit.
What if you got married to somebody right now that was over 62?
Married to somebody now.
No.
You have to be married 10 years.
Cassandra, I'm trying to work a loophole for you. You know, I was trying to get you married off real quick so we could get you more money, but it's not working. Vince says.
The marriage will cost you.
Yeah. Yeah. This one.
I know it will.
Yeah. Now,
does the, if one is over 62, they can file and suspend. Uh-huh. Does their spouse also have to be over 62?
The person has to be either 62 or older, or, well, she's already on disability. It doesn't matter.
No,
she could have been a single mother.
But talk about the other people that are out there. If their husband or wife is 62 or older, they can file and suspend. But what if they themselves are only 60 years old.
No. They have to be of normal retirement age. They have to be eligible.
Both people.
Both people have to be eligible.
Okay.
Unless there's a deceased spouse. There's exceptions. If your spouse is deceased and you're a widow and you're married for 10 years or more and you're 60, then you could apply for benefits.
So if I'm, I'm 63, I could file and suspend. But since my wife is turning 62 this year, it doesn't matter. It's gone.
You see, here's the other side. Cassandra, we can get you a phony ID and you can shoot your husband. And then that'll make.
She's divorced.
Don't say that.
No, he can't say that, guys. Okay,
the
never
views
mind.
And the opinions the ex. Of Joe Martin.
This is Joe Martin's opinion and only his opinion.
I'm trying to find a loophole in here to get you some money.
No loophole. Listen, you guys. I'm going to let you go. But listen, I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Okay.
I don't kill. I love, okay?
All right, girl.
All right,
well, listen.
Cassandra, thank you
for reading the paper and calling in. But Vince did talk about this now for the last couple weeks because the law is changing. Okay. But, hey, regardless, it doesn't going to work for you.
For you, I think your limited options.
Now, let me ask you another question. Let's say her husband was 66 and she divorced him, but now they got remarried right now, and they were married 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking, he might start looking better to you is what I'm trying to say.
I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. Joe's coming up with some real angles here. I have to go look it up.
Hey, Cassandra, good luck, and I'm glad you called. Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye. So you got to get married again?
Well, there's reasons to get married,
Yes, there are.
But that's not one of them.
One of them is to have children, and the other one is the need for conflict.
No, there's a third one.
Well, there's a third one.
We were talking
benefits.
Earlier.
Oh, Social Security benefits, right?
We were talking earlier before the program about some people being delusional.
Yes, right.
Okay.
You're sitting here with them. Yeah, anyway.
I think so.
Thank you so much, Cassandra, for calling. By the way, folks, this is Christian Radio, and Joe Martek is a very, 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 very strong Christian. However, in fact, I have one of our clients that came from this station. I says, I hope that Jesus has a sense of humor. And he goes, Joe, of course he does. He has to put up with you.
Yep. So that's true.
It made me feel much better. 1-888-221-8990. 888-221-8990. So I was talking a bit about Vince Rosino, CPA, who's going to help about Social Security questions. In fact, Vince has sat through some classes and gone through this aggravation just to have him keep changing the thing anyway.
Yeah, they keep changing. And here I thought, we were touting the benefits.
Yeah,
and how
right.
great they were.
And then all of a sudden,
all
boom.
All of a sudden, Congress pulled it out. And the strange thing about it
they is didn't do it.
They didn't do it publicly. They weren't hearings on it.
No,
they just
nothing.
Stuck it into the bill.
I wonder
as
who
an
got
emergency measure.
Usually there's something underneath this motivation, and I have no clue.
Yeah, it's like $197 billion over 20 years. There's the motivation. It's going to save the government.
Yeah, I know,
of money.
But there's I'm hate to be a cynic when it comes to politicians. I'm looking at a bridge to nowhere or something. Was
right.
it was the trade-off?
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Sarah Palin.
The other, the other side of the coin is, let's talk about Greg Fasulo, attorney. One of the things that happens is when we meet new clients or suspects, we talk about wills and trusts, and it's a normal subject for Vince and I. We consider it a bit of our responsibility to stir the pot and make sure people have their, quote, affairs in order. If Dan was sitting here, he would very quickly say, if you don't, state's got it all figured out for you, and your family's not going to be happy. And what could have been done quickly might take 6 months or a year or even longer to get settled.
Well, so, Joe, I got the perfect situation, and I spoke to Greg about this. I had a client walk into me last week. Here's a scenario. It's called crisis planning for Medicaid, and I'll get to that.
For Medicaid?
Medicaid.
Yeah, yeah. Let's take this call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Joe. My name is Ramona, and I just had some questions. I heard you talking about Social Security and someone being over 62 and collecting Social Security and the wife maybe turning 62 this year and how the new law would affect that. And I'm not even sure about the new law, so I never really got an answer on that. I was wondering if you could sort of fill me in.
Question is, are your husband is over 62?
Yeah, he's collecting Social Security. He is retired. I am going to be 62 this September.
Okay.
And I just wondered if you could, I don't even know about this new law. I was wondering if you could just sort of fill me in on that. Venture. I appreciate it.
Well, I think the way I understand this, now the law hasn't been out long enough for us to dissect it completely, but the way I understand it, you would have had to been 62 by the end of the year in order
end of last year,
in order for you to be eligible to take on that program, to be able to take, you know, have your husband file suspend and you take half of it.
Now explain file and suspend.
Well, the file and suspend, Joe, is where your husband or spouse has to actually apply for Social Security. Suspend means he or she elects not to collect the benefit.
Not to collect.
But you have to file for it,
right,
but not collect it. That's the suspend part. They file, they suspend, and by filing, it then opens the door for the spouse to then apply
for a spousal benefit.
And the spousal benefit usually is half of that spouse or your own, whichever is higher. But here's the thing. You could not apply for your own, take half of the spouse,
right,
and then let yours build.
Right.
And you can let it continue to build until you're 70 years
old.
So
here's what would happen. You say, if let's say you qualified, which you don't, unfortunately, but if you did, when you take the spousal benefit, that means you're not taking your own benefit. And that means, let's say, 10 years, 5 years down the road, your benefit is twice or one and a half times whatever your spousal benefit is, then you would start taking yours. So there is a strategy that under the rules, you both have to have been, as this crew, Vince, turned 62 or
that's
older
my belief, but
last,
you know,
year.
But I have to just kind of make a proviso there, Joe. She's got an interesting question, and I really would like to go back and check that, because even though the husband is eligible, because
right,
he was 62, whether she'd have to be 62 anyway, even to apply.
Yeah.
So
let's do this. You've got our phone number here, and Vince is going to do some homework, and next week we'll talk about this on the radio again, and this will help more than one person. So if you can remember to call us again, you know, because, you know, listen, you're almost 62 now. You might be getting senile.
Well, I thank you. Thank you so much.
Well, I just wanted to make sure you were paying attention there.
See that?
Yeah,
well, these days 62 is the new 52.
That's pretty young, but you know, I wanted to make sure she wasn't falling asleep, because I had to go ahead and hear her there. Did that work?
Yeah.
Besides that, the husband has to be of normal retirement age anyway, Joe.
Now,
he's already receiving retirement.
But he's already collecting?
He's over 62. He is 62.
He's collecting?
Yeah, and he's collecting.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That's fine.
Yes.
Okay.
So
yes.
Let Vince do a little research on that and call us again next week, and then let us make another subject, because that's a very timely one.
Timely question. Yeah, I haven't thought about that, where the wife is just about ready to get.
And as long as your name's not Cassandra, and you know, then you don't get that double whammy.
Well, listen, y'all both have a blessed day, and thank you so very much.
Oh, you're
thank you for calling. You too. Bye.
Listen in next week.
1-888-221-8990. It never fails, Vince. I mean, these
things come up. I mean, I don't know the answer to that particular one.
Well, the law is so new.
Haven't had a chance to delve into all the permutations and combinations.
So what happened with this Medicaid?
Oh, okay. This is interesting. Medicaid thing. And it's really a story. What's the expression? You know, it's a warning to most people. The client came in. She's a mother. Just got put into a nursing home.
Her mother did
6 months ago. She's 99 years old.
Okay.
She still owns the house.
Wow. And?
Question is, how do I protect the house?
In Florida, the house is exempt.
If it's a homestead.
Right.
But if she owns it 100% and she's not living there,
right,
then your question becomes, is it really her homestead?
Oh, because she's no longer
there. And if there's no hopes that she's going to go back there.
I know.
So it was a very difficult thing to answer for her, because there were not a heck of a lot of options to spend down the money that she was selling the house.
Not necessarily.
No. Hang on a second. We'll get another caller.
I'll take a caller.
It's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Hi, Mr. Martek. Good evening. I have a question. My question is, I'm turning 65 this year, and I was planning on taking my Social Security at 65 instead of waiting until I'm 66 next year. What is the benefit? I mean, what's the benefit of waiting until I'm 66?
Well, there's a discount. I mean, if you take it early, and that's considered taking it early, that then the benefit is a little less than that would be at 66.
Like now, like 8%, give or take.
It's probably maybe 8 or 10% less at 65, because you're that close to normal retirement.
And,
so,
and by the way, they prorate that to the day. It doesn't done by a calendar year. So let's say you take it at 65 in 3 months. They wouldn't discount it by 8%. It might be discounted by 6 or 7 or something.
There's a formula. It's a calculation. But it's going to be discounted. But it's much less than, say, if you took it 62, when it could be 25% discount.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Does that make sense to you?
Okay.
So the bottom line is, what I would do if I were you, I would call Social Security, make an appointment, go down and see them, and they will calculate it for you. I mean, and they'll do, they're very cooperative. And they'll let you know how much you'd get now and how much you'd get if you waited until you're, you know,
you're
full 66.
Full 66.
And then you can make your decision.
Okay. Okay.
Because remember something, something, caller.
Yeah.
That decision, once you make that decision, you're with that decision for life.
Yeah, yeah.
And so whatever,
once it's done, it's done.
So unless you're within a year, you can undo it. But after that, you're done.
Hey, good luck. And if we can help you anytime, you yell back. Thank you very much for calling. 888-221-8990. Because I know this Florida regs on a homestead is exempt from attachment by creditors.
That's
and
correct.
It's not part of the Medicaid. However, like you said, if all of a sudden you're not living there, it's not your homestead anymore, and there's that 2 and 5, whatever.
The other thing is, to answer the pastor's question, so he answered, can you put it in a trust? Well, they still have a look back. They have a 5-year look back on a gift to a trust, because it'll be essentially a gift to the trust.
But if one today were in their 60s, they put their home in a trust, and then they turn 90.
Depends on the type of trust that it is.
Well,
there's a revocable trust and there's irrevocable trust. Okay. But the irrevocable trust takes it completely out of your estate, which means you have no control over it. Somebody else has control over that house.
And now here's another problem. I'm not positive. Boy, this becomes a legal thing. And if you have your homestead in an irrevocable, I'm not sure you can do that.
I'm not sure of that either, Joe. It's a legal question.
Here's the key. The trust really does not offer the protections people think it does. It can be penetrated regularly. But Florida Homestead says, if you personally go in a nursing home and that house is in your name and that's your homestead, that's not considered one of your assets. So literally, they don't count that as part of the government coming in and paying
the bill. It might be interesting to know how long you got to be in that nursing home before it no longer becomes your homestead.
Well, here's
that's
the other
a matter of fact. That's facts and circumstances, and usually the doctor has to give an indication that you are capable of going home to live in that residence, now, because then you can elect to exempt that property.
Yeah.
If you say, I intend to go back,
they can
then they can't do anything with that. But if you can't physically go back and you can't get a doctor to you're going to be able to go back.
But there's also, if you have a spouse and you're at a home,
that's
store,
a
you're in a nursing
too.
Home, the house, is still
the house is still
exempt. She can stay. We have another caller. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, sir, Joe. Question about homestead exemptions. Mom passed away back in December, and now I have a house that my little brother lives in, which was my mother's, and now it's in both of our names. I'm just assuming he has to file for homestead now?
Good question. If it's in both of your names, and are you going to live in the house with your brother?
No, sir.
I don't think you can have a joint tenancy and make it a homestead unless you both live in the house.
So, is his name on the title?
They're
his
both
brother's
on,
name.
Yeah, but both of them.
They're both on the deed.
They're both on the deed. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so now what you might want to do, now this is a legal question, and I'm not 100% on this thing, but you got two ways you can go. You go down to the courthouse and you say, hey, look, Mom died last year. It was a homestead. Mom left us the house. My brother and I, he's going to live in it. How do we make it a homestead? They may say you have to deed him your half of the house, and it's because it's your brother and you love him and you know you trust him and he'll definitely take care of you later. You still with me?
Well, the love is there.
The love is there. All I'm trying to say is once you know what the rules are with the county, then there might be documentation, maybe a mortgage could be put on the house to protect your interest. You know what I'm trying to say? That I'm sure there's a way to skin this cat and yet make sure you have a homestead, because with the homestead protections and the lowering of taxes, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have. And if you don't have it, you also have another problem with investment property and taxes and depreciation and you name it. I mean, there's all kinds of can of worms that could come up.
It's another legal point. Another legal, just occurred to me as he was talking. You know, if you hold the property in tenants in common as opposed to tenants by the entirety, that might change the complexion.
Another thing. I legally think, number one, first thing you should do is go down to the courthouse and get educated by them what you have to do. And then second, you might need to get an attorney involved in this, a real estate attorney. All I'm trying to say, I know this can be accomplished to protect your interest and to protect your brother's interest and to make this a homestead, but I don't know the steps.
Understand. Okay. Well, it's a trip to the courthouse.
Hey, that's the easy way to get started, and that doesn't cost a nickel. And the people there, they're very cooperative. They'll help you up one, and a lot of them will actually pull out the stats for that county or the Florida statutes, and they'll go through them. I mean, they'll spend some time with you normally.
Fantastic. All right. Well, there's our starting point right there. I appreciate it, Joe, and y'all have a blessed day.
Hey, you too. And if things don't work out, you call us back, and we'll see if we can steer you in the right direction.
I've got your number. Thanks again.
Thank you. 1-8-8, you know, there's always a new wrinkle, isn't there?
That's what makes this show exciting, Joe.
Yeah. 888, you know, as I said to my girl, Nikki, this business, when she started 2.5 years ago, I said, this business starts out easy and gets more difficult every day.
Yeah.
Because something keeps coming up, but I get a kick out of it. Are we done with your Medicaid story?
Yes. Well, the bottom line is there wasn't very much they could do in this crisis planning scenario other than spend it down through buying a funeral, prepay a funeral. You might be able to buy an annuity if it's going to pay out for less than a year, but most companies are not going to sell you that kind of annuity. You know better than I.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's very once you, I mean, the lesson learned here
is you
need to plan that way early, way before you're thinking about, well, you might need to go to a nursing home.
It's called a very, very, very symptomatic of what most people don't do. They don't do the necessary planning. And one of the things that Vince does and I do, and most of us in our group, we kind of stir the pot and to try to make people think, let's just get these things taken care of. As an example, here comes this fellow that just called, and mom was not so young, I'm sure, and they knew she was going to die sooner or later and leave him the house. A little bit of due diligence a year ago might have saved some aggravation, maybe. And maybe, Tom, at that time, the house could have been put into a trust. And kept the homestead.
The reason I ask that question is I know a couple that were married for 50 some odd years.
Mm-hmm.
The wife became ill, went to a nursing home. Her husband continued to live in the home.
Right.
And his retirement and his benefits took care of a great portion of his wife's care to a point. And then the money started to run out. They had to change some things. And what this individual ended up doing is he had to take his house out of his name, out of his wife's name. They put it in a trust for his three children, and their names were totally out of it. And in that way, Medicaid could come in and assist.
But one of the
Medicaid or Medicare.
One of the problems is
could assist.
Tax issues involved with
that, and it protected the house.
Too.
Well, there's a double-edged sword there, because here's another thing that happens. You buy your house for $100,000, you live in it for 20 years, now it's worth $500,000. And government says if you're a husband and wife, you can sell that house and make $500,000 in profit and there's no tax. But it's got to be a homestead. So what happens is if we take the title, is what Vince is saying, and we take it out of you, me, husband and wife's name, and we put it in the kids' names, make it a gift or whatever, the cost basis very often goes way back.
It goes back to the original owner.
What they bought it for.
As opposed to, if you got it upon death, you get what's called a step up in the basis. So it gets stepped up to the fair market value.
I don't know how the house... How it all shook out. But I know that there was something that they had to put it in a trust so that they could afford the care for the wife who was in the home.
Let me give you, let's talk about that subject just a little bit, because I have a lot of experience in this, because a lot of my clients get into this situation. Number one, I think you and I've talked about this before, you are not responsible for the debts of your spouse unless you sign for them. Number two, your homestead is exempt from attachment by creditors, and it is exempt from the Medicaid proposals unless it no longer becomes your homestead. Number three, your Social Security, your pension are exempt from the Medicaid rules also. So let's say you have $2,000 a month Social Security and you've got $2,000 a month pension coming in. That is not your wife's assets. She may have $500 a month Social Security and nothing else, and your homestead is exempt. When she goes in a nursing home, that $4,000 a month you're getting is exempt because it's approved pension and or Social Security. So there are, and let me just give you this, and not in defense of nursing homes. They ain't going to tell you this always. They're looking to get paid. They would prefer that you pay rather than having Medicaid pay, because Medicaid's not going to pay the full tilt. They're going to pay a discounted rate. So most of the time they would like, and in fact, I've seen them try to get on, get the house committed to them, the nursing home. And I counsel people very hard at this point. Before you do anything or sign anything, you've got to get some legal representation here to protect.
Because you could end up signing your properties away.
Right. Yes, and once you've done it.
But you can't get it back.
I mean, it's
they put a lien on it, and that's that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So literally, there's things that can be done, and like we're telling this caller that came in with his brother, but how to do that exactly, I don't know. But the bottom line is do a little research and then find out what can be done. And then if that
or
fails.
Maybe you want to talk to a Greg Fasula or then somebody you talk like to that.
Yeah, an mm-hmm. attorney.
An attorney who's very well
That's why you get
this.
A reverse mortgage, spend all the money.
And that's
there
not
you
a,
go.
And that's not a bad
not
thing.
Not a bad concept. Yep.
And yeah. It, quite honestly, the reverse mortgage, so that's another subject. But literally, I own the house free and clear. It's worth $200,000 and I'm 80 years old. They may give me a check for $150,000 cash money, tax free, and I can go do whatever I want with it. And that money, technically, no, unfortunately.
But that money that you get on the reverse is going to apply towards your nursing care.
And play to your nursing
it's
care, yeah.
Go, that along with your Social Security.
If you still have it.
If you still have it.
Yeah.
But you also, here's another problem you've got. Let's say you're my brother, and I've got this $500,000 sitting in a bank, and my wife's going in the nursing home, and it's in her name. So I decide to give it to you, Tom, so that the state doesn't know about it. And if you accept it, and I agree.
That can get you in trouble.
No kidding. That's where I was going. It's mm-hmm. called fraud. You go to jail. Minor mm-hmm. things. You know, now, jail is 3 square meals a day.
No, but I'm
you know.
Saying if a couple is in their senior years and they got a reverse mortgage and they took vacations, they
oh, of course.
Made gifts to their children and all that, and then later ended up in the facility, then that reverse mortgage, they're still living in their home, but it wouldn't be liable to be an attached by
Medicaid
or anybody.
The other worst thing you can do is like this couple's brother, this woman's brother is suggesting, well, maybe we just take the money and who's going to find out? they'll have ways that they'll find out.
Let me tell you what.
Anytime you have any disbursements over a certain amount, they're reported.
Well, the worst thing is the word fraud and criminal prosecution, because, these things are serious.
And you can run, but you can't hide.
Yeah,
where's
that name? Island in Argentina?
But, you know, to this woman's credit, she said, and I was applauding her as she said it, was, hey, look, they're providing a benefit to our mother.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's got this money in the house, and she should pay for her own benefits. Everybody's trying to figure out a way to preserve it, and I get that.
Well,
but
here's
in the end, she's 99 years old.
Well, if she had children that needed the funds, if she had a disabled child or something that like that, that would be different.
To me, this is it. Here's the law. Just stay with the law. Whatever you do to comply with the law, tax evasion is wrong. Tax avoidance is what you're supposed to do. That's why you hire a CPA, why you go to attorneys.
That's why you claim your deductions.
And you stay legal.
Judge Learned said that, right?
Yeah.
He said you have a duty to pay the least amount of taxes you can legally avoid.
You know, I know very few people that want to pay more than they have to.
Fact, I know one.
Who's that?
But we can't talk about him. He's a political candidate.
Oh yeah. Because they pretend. Well, excuse me. We won't say that.
Pretend. No pretension.
888-221-8990, which leads us, which we didn't talk about. We've now talked about the three of us, Greg Fasula, attorney, Vince Rosino, CPA, Joe Martek, financial advisor. But we also have Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, realtor. Why is that important? Well, I got to tell you something. In this last debacle of real estate, words came up like short sales, which was a brand new term that nobody had heard. There was lots of foreclosures. There's deed backs. There's in lieu of foreclosure. To get somebody that's competent to help you buying or selling is a critical thing.
And you know what? The Victoria is so experienced in this. She impresses me every time I talk to her. And of course, this sounds self-serving, but it's the truth. I've used her in my own personal case and for clients.
She knows her stuff. She knows her stuff. And which leads us to Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. Here again, and like you said, how many phone calls do we get for people? The USDA mortgage is 100% financing. VA mortgages are 100% financing. FHA is 3.5% down. Credit scores have been lowered for let people qualify. It's easier now than it was a year or two or 3 years ago.
And what's the rates now? Do you know?
Yeah, they're in the threes even.
Yeah, they went down recently.
What happened is,
even when the Fed raised the rates, mortgage rates went
down. Well, because they're tagged to longer-term bond rates,
like
the 30-year bond rate, as opposed to, and the 10-year bond, as opposed to.
But the other side of the coin is, normally interest rates go up, bonds go down, or treasuries go down. But one of the things that has happened because of the Chinese situation and the oil situation, these things are all in a flux right now. And there's no rhyme or reason for a whole bunch. But anyway, the bottom line is, if you're looking to buy a house and get a mortgage,
now's a good time.
If it gets any better than this, they'll be paying you to buy the house.
Let me ask you, we were talking about, you know, those reverse mortgages. Can a couple get a reverse mortgage and use the funds to buy another house? And
yes, absolutely.
100%. And use the example. Let's say you're 75 years old. You sell your house up north for $500,000. Let's take a number. And you come down here and you find another house for $500,000. And they say, hey, fine, I'll put $200,000 down. And then the reverse mortgage takes the other $300,000. And you never make a payment. And then you end up with $300,000 cash in your pocket. And no interest and principal payment ever. You have to pay taxes and insurance and maintain your property because it's your home. You're living in it. But it's the greatest thing since chocolate milk for the people that it works for.
Could you use the second home that you purchased? Could you use that for a rental property? Or
I think you'd have to. I don't think you could move into it because then it wouldn't be a personal residence.
A reverse mortgage.
You'd have to stay in the home
you're at. You'd have to stay there.
It has to be your primary residence.
And, you know, we were talking about, you know, I'm looking at retirement planning, and I was thinking, well, I'm going to be in Florida for another few years. But there's a house up in Georgia right now that I really would love to have.
You need to get your wife a job.
Well, she's worked hard enough. She's got a job.
I like that
taking
look.
Taking care of me.
I know. He's thinking, how can I pull this off?
No.
Not get caught.
I did not have that
I know,
look
I know,
whatsoever.
I like the look, Tom.
But she's taking care of me. She works very hard.
See, he lives in fear, which is, I understand. Don't worry about it, Tom.
No, I'm just telling the truth.
888-221-8990.
Monday, a week ago, not this past Monday, but a Monday a week ago, was my 45th anniversary.
Wow. Same wife?
So,
wedding anniversary? Same
one
woman?
The whole time. So
Vince just made 40.
42
now, right?
Yeah, I'm going on 43.
Yeah, it's a scary thing.
It is.
Time flies when you're having fun.
But Tom, my wife takes care of me, so I mean, I'll keep her for another 43 years.
Well, I know she carries that gun, too.
I told my wife, if she ever leaves me, I'm going with her.
Yeah, right.
There you go.
What was the old thing?
You're going to leave yourself. I'm going with you.
He said, you know, if you leave me, we're not going to fight over the kids. You're taking them. 888-221-8990. So the concept of the group is very simple. We're either here to help you make money or we're here to help protect and save you money. And understanding the tax code, understanding how Social Security work is a big thing. Understanding real estate's a big thing. Understand mortgage financing is a big thing. Homeowners insurance, car insurance, business insurance, all kind. I mean, there's so many things that come into what our group has been able to help people with. It's very fulfilling.
And you know, it's not only just your specialty, is we tend to get questions on all across the board here. You know, like this one on, you know, the homesteading and Medicaid protection.
Medicaid protection.
I mean, this is not really our specialty, but we do know enough. To help people?
And there are loopholes and wrinkles in the law that allow people to keep assets, but they have to know them. A lot of people, like Greg is up on elder law,
mm-hmm.
and this is an important thing because they have a loophole that allows you to convert assets as long as you set up a pension,
mm-hmm.
which is 5 years or longer payback, mm-hmm. and that can be exempt. A lot of people don't know that, and it's the rule, and if you comply in the rule, you're not doing anything illegal or improper. So that's important.
You could also buy a vehicle, by the way. You can do it there.
There are things.
If you sell property, you can set up a note, which would then give you income. And
There's ways.
Yeah.
The other side of the coin I want to talk just for a minute. I mean, you know, I talk about money occasionally, and I talk about rolling over. I've had a couple clients in the last week that rolled over 401ks into an IRA. And a lot of people don't understand the terminologies. Usually a 401k means I work for a company, and it's a retirement plan that the company says you can contribute money to, and very often the company will contribute some money also. Not always, but very often. Now, when you leave that company, you normally will take that 401k and you'll roll it tax-free into what's called an IRA, an individual retirement account that you now control rather than having your employer control it. So that's a normal thing. The next question that comes up is people say, Joe, what should I invest in? And I said, you know, last year I was on the money. It was a bad year. Nobody made any money. The market is flat. I figure this year still will end up flat. It's got a ways to go to recover to get back up. But I said, you know, to me, it's better to sit fat, dumb, and happy making 5 or 6% than it is to try to time things, because market timing is an extremely difficult thing to do. Anybody that does it successfully never talks to anybody. So let me just tell you, when you read something in a paper or hear about it on TV or on the internet, of course you can know it's on the internet, it's got to be true. Bonjour.
Bonjour.
If you haven't seen that commercial, you can call the station and we'll tell you which commercial that is. But the key thing is, anybody that is looking to do something to park some money for a period of time, and they want to earn better than the bank's paying a half or a one if you're lucky, 5 or 6% is a whole lot better number. So we get you information on these different things. Vince will help you with Social Security and homesteading. We are here to help people with whatever we can.
You know, Joe, I don't know if you're familiar with these, but you're talking about people who leave their companies with these IRAs.
Right.
There's an important tax strategy for people who have accumulated company stock IRAs. I'm sorry, inside of their pension plans,
right,
where they're able to take the stock itself out.
Yeah.
And basically only pay tax on the cost basis of the stock when it was put in.
Yep.
Which means all of that appreciation up to that point gets deferred into the next vehicle.
Into the next vehicle,
vehicle. And it's a tremendous opportunity for people who have been with their companies for 20, 30 years who've got very low cost basis in their stock, and they don't want to roll that stock over. They're better off taking it out itself.
Sure.
Paying the tax on that piece,
piece. Yeah.
And then getting benefits after that and be able to defer the gain for the future.
Well, what happens is, and a lot of people don't understand, but it basically, if you're underage, now help me with this, Vince, underage 65, you put $5,500 a year into an individual retirement account.
No, if you're under 55, yes.
Under 55 or 65?
It's over 50, actually, Joe.
50?
Yeah, it's 50.
Okay. If you're over 50, then you can put $6,500. Yeah, mm-hmm. Each, husband and wife.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say your wife doesn't work, but you have the ability as a husband to fund, if I'm not mistaken, a spousal IRA.
Right. If only one is eligible for, yes, you can essentially borrow from the other spouse to put money
but
away.
It has to be, quote, earned income. It can't be passive income. So you have to show that you make at least that much money a year in order to fund it.
Right. And not too much either, because at a certain point it phases out.
If you make, if you're earning $1 million a year, you can forget all the rules because the government
says it's not even that high.
I know,
it's about 190 something thousand. Once you get a joint income over that, then you phase out on these things.
Now we have, but instead of having quote IRAs, then they have different numbers, different kind of program. So it, and you know, Vince and I both have seen people that have individual retirement accounts with over $1 million. That the way they did it was rolling money into it rather than trying to. You couldn't. It's pretty hard to save and put that much into it. But rolling out of 457s, 403s, or who knows what other number it might have been, allows that. So there's a whole bunch of strategies that we get into on a regular basis that we can't get into on the show. But anybody that has a question to do with that stuff, that's what we're here for. Now, we have what we call a moderator. We have what's called a producer that's supposed to help us with this show and tell us how much time we've got left. But normally he's playing on the computer, though, playing solitaire or something or other.
Oh, so got, now he's got the flash. Now he's flashing you with threes.
I got flashed. We got 3 minutes left.
Keep calm and carry on.
You know, just talk about another little minor thing about in Medicaid planning. One of the things that can happen, let's say a husband and wife, they're together, and the wife's going to go into a nursing home, but they've got $500,000 in savings account, and it's in both their names. Well, normally their nursing home and the state say, before we ever are going to have Medicaid pay anything, you have to spend down your money. Otherwise, we won't pay. So if you've got money, you can't have it. You've got to spend it down. But one of the loopholes allows money to be converted into a pension in the spouse's name, not the one going in the nursing home, as long as that pension complies with the rules, and it's now exempt.
Right.
So it's
but the income will count, but not the principal.
Not the principal. Right. So literally, there's legal ways to help preserve assets. 100% legal, and you know, one of the things that we do between Greg Fasulo, attorney, and Vince Rosino, CPA, Joe Martek, financial advisor, is make sure before people make decisions, let's beat this thing up a little bit and make sure we're acting in the best interest of you, the client. Anyway, how much time we got left here?
1.5 minutes.
I got to be careful. Got to keep him on the clock, you know, because you know we don't want. He made us start late because he's.
I didn't start you late. I started you on time.
You told me it was late.
No, when it said, "Here's Joe," you were on air.
Oh, there we go.
But you know, the other thing, Joe, we're talking about planning.
Yeah,
the other
1 minute.
Is you may consider part of the strategy is buying long-term care insurance for 5 years because that's the look-back period.
Yeah, yeah.
So you might want to just
look at that,
buy a five-year policy, move the assets before you start that long-term care, and then they can't touch it because it'll be beyond the 5 years.
Exactly.
There's a whole bunch of things you can do, lots of strategies.
Anyway.
But you got to do it.
Well.
You know what the biggest problem is? Most of the seniors really do not. Interested.
But here's what happens. And by the time...
I'm talking about the ones that are now in their 80s and 90s.
Well, here's what... It gets too late at some point.
It's too late.
And you can't be in terrible health and get these things approved. So there's strategies, but you've got to qualify for them. Anyway, we're waving 15 seconds at us. I think that's a clue that we should say, hey, thank you folks for listening
to us.
Thanks
for listening. Thank
you. And we'll talk
to you
next week. All right.
You've been listening to the Team Martek program. The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martek is available at 772-229-0114.
I've been tested, My faith has been tried. Satan has attempted to destroy my life. He's robbed, abused, accused, and stolen. He's done everything he could do to conquer my soul, but I still have joy.
Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news and shoes.